Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse number 18. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Go over to Mark chapter 16. Starting at verse number 15, it's an oft-debated verse. We won't talk about that today, but Mark chapter 16, verses 15 says, "And he said to them, 'Go into the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned.'" Luke chapter 24, starting at verse number 44, "Then he," Jesus, "said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then John chapter 20, starting at verse number 30, the author of this gospel says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." Portions from the conclusions of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Becoming a new you, or a new church, takes doing new things. Now, we have endeavored over the past month to look at shaping our lives as missional people. Mission simply means sent. So shaping our lives as people who are sent. We are trying to shape our lives to live as missional people by embracing a series of new habits, or we've been calling them rhythms, new rhythms. And so today we are concluding this series based on the work of Michael Frost, who's an author in the field of the missional church, an Australian. He wrote a book called Surprising the World, The Five Habits of Highly Missional People. And so to recap, Michael Frost employs an acronym, BELLS. Now let's review that for a sec. The B stands for bless. This is the rhythm of generosity. And so what I have challenged us all to do is to make a regular part of our lives, our weekly rhythm, is to bless at least three people every week. And you can bless people in various ways. You can just send them a text and some words of encouragement. You can get a gift, bless somebody with a gift or money or do an act of service. But every week, just three people. And one of those three that you bless, I'm asking that they're not a member of this church. So you bless someone in this church, and you bless someone outside of this church, and then the third one of your choosing. But this is a way to not only believe in the rhythm of generosity. God is a generous God, and he has people who follow him who are generous because God is generous. So it's not enough to just preach that and believe that, but we ought to practice that in our daily lives. The next habit or rhythm is to eat. This is the rhythm of hospitality. This is welcoming people into your life, welcoming people into your home, welcoming people to a common table. And so I challenge you to eat with at least three people every week. Now if you're finding that a difficult thing to do, we're providing a way for you to do that. On Wednesday nights, we have dinner every Wednesday night here at 6:30 in the building. We get around tables, we eat. There's a member who has just been gracious enough to cook a bunch of food for a crowd of people. And so you can come, you don't have to bring any food, you don't have to bring, just bring yourself and come and enjoy. And you can knock out eating with two people, three people right there on Wednesday nights. But creating a habit where weekly you're eating with people. Now again, I'm blessed and fortunate to have the flexibility to be able to do that during the week. And so oftentimes my office is Panera Bread. Panera Bread is a place where I get a chance to interact with people in the community. And on occasions, I'll find myself sitting at a table with someone I just met, eating a bagel or drinking coffee with someone and sharing in that rhythm of hospitality. But feel free, invite people over to your house, accept invitations to eat with other people and do this weekly. The third rhythm is listen. This is the rhythm of being led by the Spirit. We talked about the Spirit of God being, important in our understanding of being in God's family and being in God's kingdom. The Spirit is such that it leads us. We just read in Luke where Jesus told the apostles to go to Jerusalem and wait for the power to come down and to anoint them. And I want you to know that the same Spirit is a Spirit that we have. It's a Spirit we receive, again, through God's grace. And so how we want to practice that rhythm is just at least once a week, take some intentional time, some quiet time to listen and to meditate and to be with God. Now prayerfully and hopefully you're working up to not just once a week, but something that you do daily, that you don't go a day without spending some time alone with God. Stop saying we don't have time to do it. We have time to do it. We have time to watch TV shows. We have time to do a bunch of stuff. We have time to play games and do a bunch of things. We have 5 minutes a day to sit with God. The fourth rhythm, and Justin preached about this last week, and thanks to listen to that sermon, very, very well done, is to learn. This is the rhythm of learning to be like Jesus. If we are disciples of Jesus Christ, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we want to do what Jesus did, we need to spend time learning what Jesus did. Amen. We need to get into the Gospels. We need to read these Gospels. I love that quote by N.T. Wright from the video that was played last week. It says, how do you read Scripture? He says, frequently and thoroughly. We can't get enough of reading the Gospels and also reading books and watching videos and doing all that we can to learn about Jesus. When we begin to learn about Jesus and we begin to learn the rhythms that he embraced and we learn the footsteps and the places that he went, we find ourselves often doing the very opposite. We often find ourselves not in the places that Jesus would go. Jesus spent time at a table on a numerous amount of occasions with his enemies, with sinners, with the people that were outcasts. He spent time with those. He sought those people out and they sought him out. We need to learn about Jesus. And this morning we're going to come to a close with this final rhythm, rhythm number five. It is the S, which stands for sent. Now, how many of you have been to the movie theater recently? You've been to the movie theater or watch a movie? Yeah, all right. Listen, movie theaters and movie companies, theater companies, all these production companies, they do a fantastic job to get us to come back to the movies. Now, that's a tall task considering that it costs like $84 a person to go watch a movie now. But they do a lot of things in the movies to get us to go to the movies, right? The Marcus Cinema down here, they've like redone all their theaters, and they've got like big comfortable seats that lean back and you can recline and watch. And then my favorite $5 Tuesdays, you know, because if you don't have $84 a person, you can pay $5 a person to go watch a movie. You walk in and the first thing you smell, oh, the butter from the popcorn, and oh yeah, they do all these things to get you to come back. You know, they give you like a 84 gallon cup so you can get your drink, so you don't have to kid up back and forth to go get your drink. You can get your popcorn, your drink, and then you get in and you have the film that you want to go see. But what do they show you before you see the movie that you want to see? Trailers. I love trailers. We love trailers. You know, and a good trailer is one that when you take note of people after a trailer is done, when you see people looking at each other going, "Man, I want to go see that trailer." That's a successful trailer. Now, Michael Frost, I love this metaphor that he uses in a lot of his writings. He says that living a missional life is kind of like living like a trailer. Because our lives is sort of a preview of the feature film. It's not the totality, it's not the full experience of the feature film, but it's bits and pieces. When people see our lives, they see bits and pieces of life with God, or at least that's our hope, that they will see bits and pieces of our lives. And then they may find themselves saying to themselves, "You know what? I want to be where they are. Or I want to experience what they experience. I want to live in the world that they're living in." Our lives are meant to be trailers. I want to be a part of that. The world to which I refer to is the world where God is reigning. This is the world where God is the God of the city. He is the God of our lives. He is the God of our church. Living as sent ones or missional ones is alerting people that God has reign and control in our lives. This is one of the messages we are sharing when we sing songs like, "Lord, I give my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone." That is a message that say, "God, you are reigning in my life. You have reign in my life and in my world." Being sent is the rhythm of alerting people to the reign of God. The text that I read earlier from the conclusions of the Gospels in succession, earlier, they all come from the Gospels. And the Gospels were written to disciples, that is followers of Jesus. And each end with a prompting to alert others about Jesus and following Jesus. Listen to some of the phrases: go into the world and go preach, go make disciples and baptize and teach and share repentance and the resurrection so that others will believe. We often see these directives being fulfilled in the explicit exchange of the gospel message. You know, that is we see us fulfilling those what we call sometimes the Great Commission. We see the fulfilling of that usually through the exchange of information. I'm going to teach you about Jesus so that you will follow Jesus, and that is good. That's noble, and we need to continue doing that. But that's not it, and it's not limited to that. So, church, I want you to think about how we can alert people to the reign of God in other ways. Things like reconciliation. Again, I spent last week preaching to a church in Rochester on the topic of reconciliation. This text from 2 Corinthians was one of our core texts, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." God has reconciled us to him and has called us to now work as ministers of reconciliation. And that is reconciling, getting people to reconcile with God and reconciling with each other. In other texts, in Ephesians and in Galatians and in Colossians, Paul talks about reconciling not just with God, but reconciling with one another. Jews and Greeks, people who don't look alike, people who don't make the same amount of money, people who live in different social classes. Paul wants the church to work in the area of reconciliation. One of the ways that we alert people to God is our participation in trying to reconcile folks with one another. We reconcile, help people reconcile in marriages and help reconcile in families. And maybe you work at a job and there's some conflict at work. And you, as a missional person, as a person sent by God, you work in helping people reconcile on the job. It's part of our call as ministers of reconciliation. I remember the second year of our Central Ohio work camp. I was working on a house in the Linden area on Hudson. This big, big blue house. You know, we had a street church where we painted a blue house every year. I have clothes in my closet that have blue paint on it. It's a reminder that we go blue when sorry, Ohio State. we've painted a lot of blue houses. But the owner of this house, Marion Sitgraves, an older African American gentleman. He was in his 80s. Loved Marion Sitgraves. He has since passed away. But I remember Marion, just a cool older guy, man, he's a real snazzy dresser. When we would pull up to start painting, Marion would always be sitting on the porch waiting for us to come there. At the end of the week when we left, he cried. He says, "Man, I'm losing all of my babies." We had become his family. I remember during the week, though, his house was next to another house, and there was this huge bush next that stood in between both houses, and we couldn't get to paint part of his house, and so he said, "Oh, don't worry about it, Dion. I'll cut it down." I said, "All right." You know, so he went and he cut this bush down. Well, I found out later that bush belonged to the neighbor. Oh yeah. And I don't know if you know about things that go on in the hood, but in the hood, it got heated. The neighbor came out and said some words that I looked them up, can't even find them. He told Marion off, and come to find out that these two had been fighting for years over different things, just fighting and fighting and fighting. I said, "Sir, I'm so sorry. We didn't know that bush belonged to you. I'll tell you what, Lowe's is right down the street. I will go to Lowe's and I will purchase you another bush." And so I got him in our church, in the van we were using. We drove to Lowe's, and you know, he started quoting scripture to me, I guess to make up for the cuss words that he had said to me. We came back, we planted the bush, and then I took him out and Marion and all the kids surrounded, and we talked. And at the end of the conversation, both neighbors hugged each other and they reconciled. But do you see how the church needs to be ministers of reconciliation? There are some things that we can do in our neighborhoods. There are some things that we can do in schools. There are some things that we can do on the job as a way of alerting people to the reign of God. Here's another area where we can alert people in the realm of justice. I love Micah 6. 8, one of my favorite Old Testament passages that says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to work humbly with your God." When you read the scroll of the minor prophets, the 12 minor prophets, Micah and Joel and Amos, and one of the themes, the biggest theme of the minor prophets is justice. That the people of God had forgotten how to treat people. They were ripping people off. They were cheating people. They were payday lenders, you know, charging 1,000% on loans. They people would come to the market to buy some produce, and they would use weighted scales so that they would cheat people. And in the court system, those who were poor were cheated in favor of the rich. And some thousands of years later, we're still seeing some of the same stuff here in our country. It's not enough for us to just cry out, oh, that's unjust. We need to take some stands, and we need to be vocal. We need to be Martin Luther King's and Mother Teresa's, who fought for the justice of those who are underserved and underprivileged and mistreated, and the victims of injustice. And in doing so, we alert people to the reign of God. Reconciliation, justice. Here's another area where we can alert people to the reign of God in the beauty of God's creation. You know, months ago we did a series on the Psalms, and we talked about the Psalms of creation. One of those Psalms, Psalm 8, that says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? We share the reign of God in the way we help people connect to God's creation. Now, it's going to be pretty difficult for us to share with others the beauty of God's creation if we don't enjoy God's creation. It's one of the reasons why we need to get outside more often. We need to take walks. We need to go into the park. We need to take any opportunity we can to just behold God's beauty, God's majesty and creation. And our beauty and our reflection upon that beauty, we share that with others as a way of alerting to them or making known to them the reign of God. Then there's in the realm of wholeness. Earlier, I asked us to focus this week on praying for brokenness. You know, the ministry of Jesus was about connecting people to God and being saved, but it was also a ministry of healing brokenness. Luke chapter 7, verse number 22. John the Baptist had sent his disciples to see if Jesus was the Messiah, the one they ought to be looking for. And Jesus answered those disciples who came to him from John. He says, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Do you see that the scope of Jesus' ministry wasn't just getting people connected to God in heaven? That was the biggest part of it. But he also healed brokenness, physical brokenness. He gave sight to the blind and walking legs to the lame and hearing ears to the deaf. And we ought to be equally interested in the healing ministry of those in our community, whether it be physical or mental or spiritual. A few weeks ago when we talked about the rhythm of generosity and blessing, we took up a love offering. Y'all remember that? We took up a love offering for a young lady in our community, a sophomore in high school who was playing in the snow, and she broke her neck, and she's paralyzed from the waist down. When she got to the hospital, she was paralyzed from the neck down. Happy to report that through her hard work and in no small part due to the prayers of the faithful, she's regaining strength in her arms. She's in a wheelchair. She's able to move her fingers. And last week, they even got word that she's starting to move her legs and wiggle her toes. God be praised, right? We took up a love collection. Some of you wrote cards and gave gifts. And the Father has just been so kind and generous with his time, and I've been in correspondence with him and texting him, and He sent me this text the other day, and he gave me permission to share it. He says, "Hello, Deanna. I wanted to thank you again for coming to see Natalie and me on Monday. We really appreciate the prayers and the generous check from the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. We also enjoyed receiving the cards and the gift from Vicki Edwards. This has been a trying time for our family, and the community support has definitely lifted our spirits and helped strengthen our faith in the Lord. I hope to come to a service once Natalie gets home to get to know the generous people of your church a little better. Thanks again, and God bless." Do you see what happens when we get involved in the wholeness, the healing of the broken, and in this regard, the physical, but there's so many places where we can enter into the lives of people who need healing from brokenness. So then, what habit are we embracing? What is the new rhythm? Well, in addition to blessing three people every week, generosity, in addition to eating with three people, hospitality, in addition to listening to the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and in addition to learning, living like Jesus, this new rhythm is being aware that you are a sent one and taking every opportunity to bring attention to the reign of God. I wanted to take a couple minutes to listen to the author of this book, Michael Frost, as he talks about habit number 5. Let's watch.
Okay, so the fifth habit of highly missional people is to see yourself as a sent one. So we've looked at blessing, eating, learning, listening. The fifth one is to be sent, which is basically what being missional is all about, since the word mission means to be sent, to be propelled outwards. Now, here's the deal. I don't have to tell you to be a sent one, because you're already in the world, like, right? You've got a job, you're involved in community groups, sporting clubs, your neighborhood, kids are in local schools. I mean, you're already out. The issue here is for you to start to see every aspect of your life as being potentially an expression of God's work in this world. So I think the big mistake that non-missional people make is that we think that only priests and ministers and archbishops do the work of God. They're called by God to do His work, and they are. But here's what I want to get you to think about. Is it possible that in the normal conduct of your business, your work, your engagement with neighbors, sports, clubs, all those kinds of things, is it possible you could be mirroring God's work in that world as well? Is it possible that because God is creative, when you do creative work, you're mirroring His character? Because God is just, when you're committing to justice in your world, you're doing His work. God is a God of reconciliation. God is a God of beauty. God is a God of wholeness. So when you bring healing, when you teach, when you serve, I want you to start to see that as an expression of God's work in this world. Is it possible for you to get a space in your life, get a journal, and just start writing down, how did you mirror God's work in your world today? Who did you teach? Who did you heal? In what ways did you bring justice? How did you create peace or mercy? In what ways did you fashion beauty? I want you to start to see the redeeming of every aspect of your life as a way in which you mirror God's work in this world, to see yourself as truly sent. As you start to do this, it'll start to frame the way you understand your life in this world, and you'll realize, actually, we've already been sent into our neighborhoods, into our communities, to mirror God's work, to represent Christ, to be truly missional, to bless people, to eat with people, to listen to the promptings of the Spirit, and being shaped by Jesus to be His representative in whatever part of the world He's placed you.
I love this author and teacher because he's just so simple. And we've made things so difficult and so complicated. Essentially, what Michael Frost is saying is that instead of compartmentalizing our lives, you know, to well, here's the spiritual part of Dion, and here's the work side of Dion, and here's the play side of Dion, and here's the serious side of Dion, and it's only in the church part of Dion that I'll be missional. What Michael Frost is saying is, no, you have to be missional in the church part, and in the work part, and in the play part, and in the serious part. Like, the whole of our existence needs to be missional. So one of the ways that he wants us to learn to be more aware of where we're being missional, and that is, it doesn't just take place like when we come to church, is to get a journal. You know, maybe you do it weekly, maybe you do it daily. At the end of the day, just write in your journal, where did you do justice? Where did you participate in reconciliation? Where did you alert people to God's beauty? Where did you involve yourself in the wholeness ministry and the healing ministry of others? And what you'll begin to see and notice is that you're actually doing it more often than you think. We need to think about being missional on our sports teams, kids, and in our sports ministries. How many of us do travel sports leagues? Oh my goodness. So many miles and so much money. But there's so many people that we meet in sports. So why not invade that space with a message about God's reign? I'm not saying when you go to the game and you're watching the volleyball match or the soccer match to get on a crate and start preaching. I mean, you can do that if you want. It might tell you to be quiet and watch the game. But there may be little things that you do, like, hey, there's a kid that can't make it to practice because the parents are doing something. Hey, I'll take them. I'll take your kid. I'll hang out with your kid. Acts of service and blessings to be done in these realms. Up on the screen, as the sermon graphic, is a map of Reynoldsburg and the surrounding areas. They are the areas where we live and where we work and where we hang out and where we go to school and where we eat at restaurants. What if we were intentional about living these new rhythms and habits in this city, in the city where you live, and in the surrounding areas? That's the purpose of embracing the new habits, is to be highly effective missional people, to alert people to the reign of God, to make disciples, to become better disciples, to be shaped into the image of Jesus Christ day by day by day. So, just because the sermon series is ending doesn't mean that the habits end. For the remainder of this year, for the remainder of our lives, may we seek to be generous through the rhythm of blessing people. May we seek to be hospitable through the rhythm of welcoming people and eating with people. And may we embrace a habit of taking intentional time to be alone with God, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and to follow its leading. May we spend time, intentional time, learning about Jesus through reading the Gospels, reading books about Jesus, watching movies and videos about Jesus. And may we live to mirror God as sent ones. And in the realm of justice and reconciliation and beauty and wholeness, may we seek to alert people to the reign of God. Bells. If you do a Google search of this book, I believe that there's a free copy, the PDF of this, if you want more information. If you don't want to do a Google and you need me to just give you the link to that, just come to me. I'll text it to you or send it to you, or I'll have Perry link it on the website. But read this work and be blessed by it the way I've been blessed by it. I've met so many new people over the past month just by employing some of these rhythms. I've had so many conversations about God and Jesus just by employing these rhythms in my life. I've invited more people to church in the past month probably than I have all of last year, just by employing these rhythms. I believe that if we embrace these rhythms, it's going to bless our church. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for his ministry and his faithfulness and his sacrifice and the way he set in motion your kingdom on this earth. And God, we, as missional partners with you, we seek to prolong your kingdom's message on this earth by first embodying that message ourselves, by first putting our faith and trust and belief in you, and then by living lives that seeks to bring others into this kingdom. God, you have built a very long table, and you have invited so many people to this table, and you continue to invite so many people to this table. And God, I pray that we would have the same attitude and same spirit to want to invite everyone to this table. And God, in doing so, I pray that we would never neglect the rhythm of hospitality, or the rhythm of generosity, or the rhythm of being led by the Spirit, the rhythm of being shaped by Jesus, or the rhythm of alerting people to God's reign in every aspect of our lives. God, I pray that you would bless this audience, because in this audience, in this auditorium, God, we are missional people seeking to live missional lives, seeking to bring glory to you in the name of Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit in this community, whether it's right here in the center of Reynoldsburg or Gahanna or Bexley or Pataskala or Westerville or Whitehall or Lancaster, wherever we come from, God, we intend to be your missional partners. May we never neglect this call to be your missional partners. God, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The song we sing is a song that simply titled God of This City. It is our belief that God is in this city. He's in this surrounding area, and he's already doing work. He's already blessing. He's already doing what he has intended to do since he created this earth, and he's going to continue to do that. And it should be our goal and our desire to join in with God and what he is already doing. So as we sing this song, may it be an anthem that we intend to join God as he is the God of this city. And as we're singing this song, if there's anything that we can do for you in terms of prayer or ministry to you to bless your soul, we want to give you that opportunity. As we sing, you can come forward and share something. And we'll pray for that. If right now you want to make a declaration that Jesus is Lord, and you want to make him the Lord of your life, profess faith in him, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you can do that as well. Let's stand. Let's sing.